Hello and welcome to the Creativity Cafe, where we get to explore creativity in all its aspects, from designing your lifestyle, your work and business, to creating more beautiful and sustainable solutions to global challenges. I'm Katie Curtin, and I'm hosting this cafe because creativity and helping creative change makers thrive and get their work out in the world is what I'm all about. You can visit me at www.katiecurtin.com. And that's KATIECURTIN.com. Today's guest is Sarah Hoskin-Clymer, who will be talking about walking home to yourself, the way of the sacred feminine warrior. And I'll be talking to Sarah about her experience of walking the ancient paths and energy lines, her initiation into the path of the sacred feminine warrior, and how to bring the powerful practices of pilgrimage into your life. Well, I'm just so delighted to have Sarah here. I've known her for quite a number of years, and she's a very, very special person. She's an intuitive coach, pilgrim guide, and former radio show host, and who first discovered the joys of pilgrimage in 2009 when she walked the last 170 kilometers of the ancient path of the Camino into Santiago, Spain. She then returned to walk different sections of the Camino again in 2010 and 2012, and last summer walked solo along ancient earth energy lines in southern England. This June, she returns to England to lead a pilgrimage of the sacred feminine warrior, a transformational solstice journey on the spiral paths and ancient earth energy lines of Cornwall, which I'm sure is going to be a very, very special journey for those who sign up and become part of it. It sounds so exciting. So Sarah also offers other sacred walks and pilgrimages as paths of initiation, as well as workshops and programs to support and guide you on your sacred feminine warrior path. We will spend about 40 to 45 minutes talking about today's topic and then open up for any questions or discussion from our audience. If you have your computer in front of you, I'd invite you to visit our Facebook page, type Creativity Cafe in the search field, click on the like button, introduce yourself and post questions and comments there as they come up. So make yourself comfortable, take a sip of your favorite brew, while I welcome Sarah. Sarah!
Hello!
Hi!
Hi!
I'm so happy to have you here.
It is so good to be here. I'm just sitting here smiling. Getting to sit here
good.
In a conversation with you and getting to talk about my favorite topic.
Exactly. So what I wanted to start with is what inspired you to become a modern-day pilgrim and first walk the Camino?
You know, it all happened back in 2009, I first walked the Camino. And what had happened the year before that is actually when I was in coaching school. And where we were asked, like, what was our dream? What would cause us to have a fulfilling life? What were those dreams that maybe we'd forgotten? And here I was, all of a sudden remembered, oh my gosh, back in 2001, I said, someday, one day, I'm going to walk the Camino. And I found out about it through Shirley MacLaine's book, The Camino, that kind of was one of those books that fell off the shelf into my arms. Back when I had my fourth little baby, I was like inundated with motherhood and family life. So reading this book, The Camino, was almost like an escape at that moment. But as I read it, I was like, you know, someday I'm going to do that. And then in 2008, all of a sudden, that someday, one day became, oh, what if I was to do that now? And that's really what inspired it and like, caused it to become more of a someday, one day dream and become something that was more like, what if I really took that on? And what if I really allowed myself to go and have this kind of an experience? So I used my 50th birthday as kind of like my excuse. And it was like an aligning. I know that it was almost like there was a calling to go and do something like that, but I had so many really good reasons why I could never do anything like that. You know, mom of four kids, you know, all the different excuses we can all use for whatever reasons. And there was something that pierced through that and actually moved me into action to go and walk the Camino.
What happened when you walked? Well, first of all, it must have been quite a process as a mom of four kids, and they weren't all grown up.
No, not
to
at all.
To actually get away. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, part of it was getting my family on board, having them go, wow, you're really going to go away for a while, and we're not going with you. So, and part of this has been a process of my really accepting who I am. I'm a really committed mom and a committed wife. Like, I love my home life, but I have this side of me that I think has a lot of gypsy blood or pilgrim blood in her, because I also love to go away and to walk. And so it's been a process for me to allow and integrate and accept all those parts of myself, and at the same time, generate the support from those around me. So they don't see it as I'm leaving them. More it's, oh, this is what mom needs to do for herself. So when she comes back, she's even more present. She's even more full. Because that's been the journey too, is when I've gone on a pilgrimage, then bringing all of who I've become on the journey home with me and integrating that into my life too. So, that's been a big part of the journey too. And so everything, like back in 2008, everything started to get kind of catalyzed. There was a movement that started to happen. So I just kept following threads. And one of the things, I had this real interest in, what would it be like to lead a pilgrimage? And so as I was researching the Camino on the internet, I actually came across a woman from Toronto through Kenny. And I wrote to her and this, that, and the other thing. Well, I ended up walking with a small group that she was leading that May in 2009, and was in a very informal way an apprentice to her. There wasn't actually anything for me to do, but I got to really observe how she led a group of people who were all very different from each other, moved at very different speeds on the path, very literally, and how did we still walk together as a group? So that walking with Sue that spring gave me a container to walk in, because at that point I really needed. You know, there's a lot of people that go off by themselves and walk, which I did last summer, but I wasn't ready for that by myself. And so it was amazing to have a group to walk with, to still walk my own path, and yet at the same time have this group that I was a part of, and that we supported each other as we walked it.
And I imagine, or at least this is some of the questions I would have, is that you have people of many different fitness levels in a group, and ages. And I guess I would be a little bit nervous going on one, just thinking whether I can keep up, whether it would feel good being with a group in this way. How do you feel that works in a group successfully,
you know,
so that you do take the different paces?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think part of it is each person who's a part of that group gets to be really clear about who they are and what their intention is for the walk. So, for example, we had a woman who was nearly 65. Sorry, somebody just walked in the room. I'm on a phone call. And so she said from the very, very beginning that she was a turtle. She says, look, I'm a slow walker. I walk the speed of a turtle, and that's just how it is. And so what was so beautiful in that is you couldn't or didn't expect her to be any differently than that. And so what I learned is that when I slowed down to her pace, I actually had some of the most wonderful, nourishing, riveting conversations that changed who I was, because I was willing to slow down and walk with her. I didn't, you know, and so I think that's one of the things as part of the group is each person gets to say, like, this is who I am, this is how fast I'm going to walk, or this is what I want out of it, and you create a container, and the path actually helps to create the container for each person to have their own experience. And then, we're all heading in the same direction, even if it's, like, the path I'm going to read more now is more of a spiral path, more than a, say, from point A to point B, but there's something within that where you, it expands to allow for everybody's experience.
And I guess it's important for people when they are on the walk to accept their own rhythm and pace, and and this would be particularly important with a leader establishing that it's not some competition to be faster or whatever, that it's really a process of which is very, very different, which leads me into my second question, or is that... Well, I had other questions on the way here as I meandered to the second question that I have.
And that's the path of meandering. Let's meander.
Is why can the act of pilgrimage be a powerful cauldron for self-transformation? Because it's not just about walking that number of kilometers. It's something else, isn't it?
Right. Well, so this kind of weaves back into something I wanted to say when you were asking the question before, is that so how we do anything is how we do everything. So
exactly.
How we walk a pilgrimage is actually how we live our life. So in terms of accepting who you are and how you walk and how you journey on a pilgrimage is also so true in life, right? But the more we accept who we are, the more we just be with that and allow that to be and lead how we live or how we walk, the more joyful the journey is. So I think that then comes back around to your question about so how is it the cauldron for transformation? Part of what happens when you go on a pilgrimage is you step out of the familiar. You leave the familiar and the safe and secure behind, and you're out, and every day is different. You don't quite know what's going to happen or who you're going to meet or what the weather's going to be, and you get to learn about yourself, about how you respond to those situations, how you respond to those challenges. Do you keep taking the next step or, you know, where do you want to give up? Where do you just want to stop and get off the path? So all these metaphors from a pilgrimage are so applicable to our lives and how we live our lives and the choices we make. And I think what happens on a pilgrimage is we actually have time to pause and reflect. Even as you're walking, or not even, as you're walking, you're walking into your inner rhythm, whatever pace that is, and things start to move within you. And you're thinking, or you're not. You're just being so present to yourself and the surroundings. So things start to move and transform and shift in a very different way than when we're at home trying to get from point A and trying to get things done. Because when you're on a pilgrimage, all there is to do is to walk, eat, find a place to sleep, and places to go to the bathroom, right? Like, it's a very simple life. And because of that, you drop down deeper into yourself. You're also walking the land. And this is another piece I want to bring in, is typically pilgrimage paths are on ley lines. They're on these ancient ley lines where there's a different energy, where there's a convergence of energies that come together. And the path over thousands of... Can you guess?
Maybe you could stop for a moment. And when you say that, they're over ley lands?
Ley lines. Yeah.
Ley lines, sorry. And maybe you could explain that to the listeners, what a ley line is. Some of them may know and some of them may not.
Right. It's a great question. So a ley line is like our, you know how the body has meridians that we can tap into through acupuncture and acupressure? Ley lines are like the meridians of the earth, of Mother Earth.
Sarah, I'm finding your voice is going away a little bit. So,
okay, can you hear me now?
That's better. And slow down a little bit, and then I'll, you know, that'll be really good. Okay, wonderful.
Okay. So if you think of like the meridians of the earth, and even mm-hmm. like in the meridians of the body, where an acupuncturist can feel those energy lines, knows where they are, so can feel like a certain pulse from them, that's also true of energy ley lines in the earth. And what you'll find is there's really actually a lot of ancient stones, like Stonehenge or Avebury, or where there's certain tours like Glastonbury Tour, or there's stones, ancient stone circles. So all these ancient stones and wells and different like ancient monuments, if you want to call them that, that are actually on these ley lines. They're actually where a lot of these ley lines converge. So then what happened over the years is, as the church, the Catholic Church, realized that this is where people were congregating naturally because it's where they were drawn to, they then, of course, took over these sites and built their cathedrals and churches. So it's where you find a lot of the magnificent churches today are on these ancient earth energy lines throughout the world. And, you know, I'm most familiar with them in Europe and in England, but it's a we see these points, these churches, these stones. They're almost like the acupuncture needles that we use on the body meridian.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting, because in Latin America and Mexico and other countries where actually there was a conquest, the church built its church would often destroy the pyramids and mm-hmm. built churches on top, but the pyramids were often very, very connected to the energy of the land. And these, if you ever go to a pyramid, there's a very special energy there. So again, they were being built on points of, you know, places where there was the energy.
And you think about, people used to live in so much more of a deeper relationship with the earth. So they were aware of those special energies. They knew that something was heightened there. They knew that something special and magical and mystical was more available to them in those spots, which is why pyramids were built in places like Stonehenge and other stone circles. And then the church, in kind of an underhanded brilliance, the brilliance came in and they went, well, if these are where people are gathering, of course that's where we're going to put our churches. We'll just build
right.
on top of, right?
Exactly. And the energy is very real. Just a funny example. When my son was just a couple of years old, just a toddler, we went around all the different pyramids in Latin America, well, not in Latin America, in Honduras and Central America and Mexico. And every time he got there, like his energy would amplify. So I didn't enjoy myself so much sometimes because I was running after him.
Well,
and then as soon as he went away from the pyramid.
You actually don't want to live on these ley lines.
No.
They do amplify too much, but to visit them, to go and touch in, to walk them, that
exactly.
will nourish you. But if you stay on them for too long, they can actually deplete you.
Right. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's such a lot of energy, and you know, he would come home and you know, sleep very soundly.
Exactly.
Or come to the hotel, but it was really interesting because there was definitely energy there. So I was going to ask you, how can walking along these paths and these paths of energy, as you're saying, of the ancient roots, deepen your clarity about your own life purpose and path?
I think it works on many levels, multidimensionally. I think on a very basic level, you are not in your typical environment, right? You've taken yourself out mm-hmm. of comfort and out of security, and you've responded to the call of pilgrimage. And every day is a new adventure. Every day is a new journey. Every day is actually a journey in and of itself. And so I think that very basically is part of what contributes to getting in touch with who you really are. I think also there's something that when you step onto a sacred path and when you're walking with intention, something happens, right? It's different from just daily life. Even though it can look like daily life in the sense that you're still eating, you're still sleeping, you still have bodily functions, and you still get grouchy, and you still, you know, all the different things of every life. When you're walking a sacred pilgrimage, it that pilgrimage is a container, because you're stepping onto a path. There will be a point at which you step off. And in between that, there's an experience that happens. And it changes you. And it works on you. And every day, and that's coming back to too, is as you're walking the earth, there's a symbiotic relationship between you and the earth. So you're receiving wisdom and energy from the earth, and the earth is receiving wisdom and energy from you, and you're both being nourished, and you're both being transformed by that relationship. And so it may be that you're just walking, and it isn't until 5 months when you've gotten home, and all of a sudden you go, oh, my goodness, I'm a different person than before I walked. For some people, it may be 5 minutes. For some people, you know, you just never know. Because everybody's pilgrimage is so unique. But one of the quotes I love from Sue Kenny is she talks about how when the Camino ends, the journey begins. Because, you know, it's whenever you have had a peak experience, how, or even an experience of the depth, not just peak, but the valley, what do you do with that experience? What's the gold? What are the gifts that you receive from it? And how much do you integrate it into your being and who you're becoming? Because the more open you are to receiving the gift, the more it will change you, the more it will transform you. And I think a lot of people are going on these pilgrimages thinking they're just going to go for a great hike or for a fast bike ride, because more and more people say are biking the Camino. But kind of like, for me, the cosmic joke is they're still on the Camino and they're still going to get changed. They're not going to come back the same person as the person who stepped onto the path. And it may be major and it may be subtle, but you are changed, even from the decision to do it. That shift starts to happen.
And how does it actually deepen your clarity about your own life purpose and path? Like, what did that do for you, and what might it do for others?
Well, it's so individual, but I know that a lot of people will go on a pilgrimage when they've had a major disruption in their life, right? Maybe a death or a divorce or the loss of a job, you name it. Like, there's so many things that can happen in one's life, and people are like, I need to do something different. And for some people, they plan this for months. For some people, they get the call and they leave house the next day. In fact, I met a young man who was a young man, his fiance had died, and he was working in the family business. He was from Germany. And then when his fiance died and everything happened, he literally walked out of the store, stepped on the path, and was still walking 5 months later.
Wow,
and he actually didn't want to arrive in Santiago. He was down to walking about 3 kilometers, 4 kilometers a day and stopping and drinking beer, because he actually didn't want to get off the path. I think he was actually nervous about returning to his life. So just like anything, you can kind of get attached and addicted to it, because it's in some ways harder to confront and face your own life and to bring it all home. But I think what happens on the path is that you get to connect with your inner core, who you are as source in your life, and get to tell yourself the truth. That perhaps in our normal day-to-day lives, we can kind of push away a little bit. Like, oh, I won't deal with that right now. I've got to go do the dishes, or I've got to go to my job. There's always other things pressing. But when you're on the Camino or on a pilgrimage path, they're all over the world. The Camino is the one I'm the most familiar with, and the paths in England. I walk with the intention to know more of who I am, to connect more deeply with who I am. So, of course, out of that intention, I'm given more opportunities to know that, to know who I am. But I think it's the time and the space. I think that you're walking on this energy where you want. I think that you've got put these boundaries on either side of you, however wide that path is in that moment. Sometimes it can be very narrow as you're going through a narrow, like, couple of rocks or something, and sometimes it could be a wide road. It's always changing. You're crossing stiles, you're going through woods, you're out in the blazing sun. Like, you've got all the different elements. And you're walking, you know, you can be walking 2 to 6 to 8 hours a day. And sometimes you may arrive at where you thought you were going to spend the night, and guess what? The albergue is full. What are you going to do?
Wow.
And so you get to learn how resourceful you are. You get to act from that place. You get to tap into source and go, how do I create what I really want to? And then we get to realize there's a whole other way of being in the world that isn't always about getting, but about receiving and opening up to what's already within. I think that's the biggest thing. If we really get to connect in with what's already here, and that in and of itself is a miracle.
Beautiful, beautiful. So how does one know if they are called to pilgrimage? Like, it seems like with some people it's pretty obvious, like that young German man that you were talking about. But for other people, it might be less dramatic, I imagine.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's as many different ways of being called as there are pilgrims on the path, right? But, you know, for me, it was this book falling off the shelf, quote unquote, into my hands, and I read that book.
I'm losing your voice now, Sarah.
Okay, just knowing, but for me, it was the book, right? Shirley MacLaine's The Camino. For other people, I know for a lot of Americans, the movie The Way has been, you know, like bringing the Camino into people's consciousness. The idea of pilgrimage, the invitation to pilgrimage, and so many people are seeing that movie and saying, you know what, I want to do that. So I think what it is that there's a great quote, I actually have it on my website, that says every pilgrim has a dream. And I think that's what it is it starts with a desire. And perhaps it's a desire that at first you just say someday, one day, and you can put it on the back burner. But you know how those things that you're really called to do will keep making themselves known? And keep getting your intention where it's kind of like you'll see the banner to the movie The Way everywhere, or people will be having conversations about it. And it's like the way spirit has its way of getting its messages across. And people resist it. Of course they do. It's different. Going on a pilgrimage is saying yes to the heroes or the heroine's journey. And the truth is we can resist that, but only for so long. And for some people, it takes losing everything, right? And they're finally like, okay, I will surrender. I will do this. And for other people, it's a great idea. Or it's a bike ride, or it's a holiday. Or, or for other people, they get pushed out the door. I know there's one man who was leading a bunch of young men who had been in the jail system and took them on the Camino. Changed these young men's lives by their walking the Camino, right? So I think that we will each hear it. It's how do we hear any spiritual nudge, any intuitive nudge? And we all hear it and feel it and experience it in different ways, but it will get your attention, whether it's the Camino or a path in South America or Central America or a path in England or a path here in North America, right? There's many, many pilgrimage paths, and I feel like we're all drawn to and resonate with different areas. You know, for you, kid, you talk so much about Central America, right? You've had so much experience there. And for me, it's Europe, and now it's becoming even more localized to England. The Camino actually took me to England. I thought it was the Camino. I love the Camino. But my path is now over in England. So, and I had to walk a long time on the Camino to hear my calling to walk in England.
Right. So why do you think that walking is such a powerful tool to enhance your soul work and indeed your creative work?
I think it's because we're in movement. I think that's a big, we're not just sitting in our heads or, you know, and we're kind of in the upper realm. We have to be in our body to walk. So I think it's an embodied practice. So I think that's a big part of it. I think another piece of it is it's a natural speed for us. We're not being moved, like, well, except by spirit, but by anything physical. We're not riding a bicycle. We're not in a car. Mm-hmm. We're not in an airplane. So we're not moving faster than our own natural speed. I really believe that that's a huge part of it. We're moving ourselves, even if we're moving by spirit, with spirit, but we're still moving at the body's pace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, like I was saying before, that symbiotic relationship with the earth. And you're outside, so it's also with the sky. You're also outside with the moon and the phases of the moon. You're under the stars, receiving the wisdom from the stars. You're going by trees. You're out by water. So you've got all the forces of nature with you too. And you'll see animals as you're going along, and they get to impart their wisdom to you. So it's about being open to the environment and the messages it has for you as well. And so I think that all these different aspects, but I think it's being in motion, moving the body, allowing what's in you to move through you as you walk. And it's rhythmical. See, it's, you know how in like dance, when you get into those rhythms and the body just, it gets to move with energy that, for me anyway, when I'm just sitting, isn't the same. I think that's right. And for someone who can look down at the earth and go, yeah, it's awfully dense down there, that can be my tendency or has been, walking has been a really powerful, simple, nourishing, gentle way for me to connect and ground, for me to center myself and to really ground into my body and to feel into what my body wants, how strong my body is. And that I'm capable of doing this.
Yeah.
And I love seeing 70 or 80-year-old pilgrims out on the path when they're walking. Anybody can walk, unless they can't, right? But if they can walk, you can walk, even if it's a few steps, even if it's a few miles or whatever. But there's something very nourishing about walking. Yeah.
And I know as an artist and as walking gives me the possibility, not just sitting at a desk or sitting at a place where you're painting or making something, but just the movement seems to allow ideas just to flow. And when I go out walking, I get all kinds of ideas, for my business, for my art, for anything. It just seems that it allows for the creative flow in a way that it's not easy to get otherwise. And I would expect that being on a pilgrimage and being so many days walking, that just adds to that whole effect.
Yeah, because so much of our creativity comes out of our experiences, doesn't it? And so, like, I guess I had been told I was a creative person, but it was always one of those ideas I rejected. It's like, oh, no, everybody else is, but I'm not. But there's something that does happen. Like, there's a, I guess it's coming back here. It all seems to circle around on the same themes. But when we come back and connect in with our core essence, ourself, that is creative. Like that, the energy of our core true self is creative. So when we connect in with that through walking and allowing that to emerge and allowing the walk to like fuel that, it's kind of like what's the words I'm looking for? Like, it almost like has to come forth. It's almost like the cup has to start spilling over. And it happens again, in so many different ways. But how many people then go walk the Camino and write a book? How many people are creating movies? Look what happened to Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen. They created a movie. There's another woman, Lydia Smith, who created a documentary movie that she's traveling around the United States with from her experience on the Camino. There's people who have done artwork, music. There's actually one man who took pretty basic recording equipment and, oh, what instrument was it? The violin, I believe, and took it to the different cathedrals along the Camino and created the most profound music. So, and that's just directly related to the Camino. That, what about all the creativity that comes back that the Camino just catalyzed? And how we just can bring that and bring it back into our lives. And maybe we don't even see the Camino directly in our creative artwork or our creative endeavors, but it's being totally fueled by who, by our experience on the path and what we see. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get into another area which is related, and that's around the path of the sacred feminine warrior. Tell me more about that, because you link it with pilgrimage, but it's not necessarily something everybody would necessarily connect to.
Yeah, exactly. It's a concept that has been coming into me, and like it's becoming an embodied concept. So it's not just like a great idea, but to choose to go on pilgrimage requires a certain kind of strength and power, even just to say yes, like we're willing to open up to the unknown. And then the walking of it develops a nut, like it deepens that power and it deepens that strength. And I think especially as women, at least my own experience, I have seen where I have given my power away just because I'm a woman. And that's where this concept, this idea, this embodiment of being the warrior is really coming forth, because I'm coming into that I am an incredibly powerful being. And that as I more deeply align and connect with the earth and her energy, think how powerful the earth is. Think, and when we think goddess, we can think just flowy white dresses, or we can think of raw primal energy of the goddess. She is powerful. And that's, I think, what it is being called on all of us, especially women, but even the inner feminine within the men, we have to come into that, into a sacred relationship with our feminine power so that we can save the earth. So that we're not going to make decisions that blow ourselves up or cut us off from our food supply or you name it, right? We've got to realign with what really works, with the natural forces. And I think, God, I think I know that that's part of the warrior, is that that sacred feminine within us that knows what is right, that knows how to be in right relationship with the earth, with the natural forces, with each other, and has the integrity to say no where we need to say no, to say yes where we need to say yes, and to take a stand for that. The other piece that I've gotten in touch with recently that is, for me, just a whole piece of the embodiment is that there's a great prayer that I've been using that I got off of Facebook from a page called Inner Solace. And they talk about the warrior's daily prayer is to have the strength to love all of herself, the courage to listen to what she is guided to do, and the confidence to go out, stand tall, and deliver her gifts to the world. And one of the ways, isn't that powerful? And one of the ways this prayer is showing up is the strength to love all of ourselves, including our shadows, including those aspects of ourselves that we have pushed away and denigrated and tried to just not have anything to do with. So a warrior actually has the courage and the strength to love and embrace and integrate her shadow. That's the key piece, because that, for me anyway, is related to that inner child in me, that young girl. And when I can embrace her in all of who I am, then I'm a whole being. And that's part of being a warrior, is allowing your wholeness to be involved in your life, to be leading your life, to be living your life, to be taking that stand. Because without all of who I am, I can't deliver my gifts to the world. without all of who I am, I get scared and I back off and I'm not willing to stand tall. So I think that part of it is that we each, I believe passionately that we each are here for a reason. We are each here to offer gifts, and we are guided by our deepest desires as to what that path looks like, where we're here and how we're here to contribute. And a warrior is willing to take a stand for that no matter what. That we're going to live our destiny. We're going to walk our soul's path because that's how we're going to contribute to creating heaven on earth. And that's what we're each here to do. So much of the core of what I do actually comes back to exactly that. That's why I've had to walk a lot of miles to find my warrior. Other people may not have to walk as far, but I have. And thank God, thank the gods and goddesses that I had the courage to walk all those miles. I'd like to do whatever it took, because as my warrior is emerging, I'm seeing more and more clearly what I can do to contribute my gift. And if I can do that, anybody and everybody can. And I just see a world, this may sound lofty, but my vision is a world where everybody is living from their most sacred desires, most courageous dreams, and delivering their gifts to the world. That's heaven on earth. That's why I walk. And that's why I invite others to walk forward.
Definitely. Wow. What a beautiful vision. And what I would like to point out is that a lot of the times we think of the feminine, and I think as kind of flowing and gentle and all that, and yet what you're pointing out here is a fierce part of the feminine, which hasn't perhaps been recognized. That fierce part that establishes boundaries, that has integrity, and that fights for what's most important for it, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So now there is another sense of the warrior, which is perhaps a shadow side of the warrior that perhaps could scare us off from embracing our inner warrior. And that
scares
is
me off.
Purely the fighter, the warrior who kills and slaughters and all that. So how do you relate to that?
Well, it's so interesting that as this whole theme and image of the warrior started to come to me very powerfully, I read a story about, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but Boudica, the Gaelic warrior, who was fierce. And when her lands were taken from her, she went and fought the English. And this story was horrible about how she went and slaughtered women, children, just slaughtered villages. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's not what I want to be. That's not what I'm about. So I got a very visceral experience of the dark side of the warrior. When you're not connected to your heart, when you're afraid of your own shadow, when you don't know that you are forced, you will go out and kill just for the sake of killing. That is the dark side, right? I really believe that we're all so scared of that we won't even tap into the strength and power that's really in us. We stay, we stay away, we shy away because we're so scared we're going to hurt people with our power. But when we don't step into our power, we also don't create. We also don't live the life of our dreams. We also don't fully love. So we're getting kind of the worst of it all without getting the best of it all. And almost like for love, and I don't mean to make it sound like a battle, but there's something about for love to really win, for love, which is going to do ultimately anyway, but for love to really be the guiding force here, we have to be willing to take a stand, and we have to be willing to show up in our power, connected to our heart, connected to our belly, fully embracing our shadow, so that we don't have to go and project that out on anybody else or slaughter anybody else because we're so terrified of what they're mirroring for us. So there's a lot of inner work that comes with embracing the warrior. Without a doubt. It's not about going out and just shouting a battle cry. That's not what this is about. This is a warrior from the belly, from the heart, connected to that sacred feminine energy that's about life. It's so deeply connected to life.
And so, boy, going on the pilgrimage, you access, in fact, because you're in touch with the earth, you can also access that strength.
Exactly. I've realized very powerfully that what I offer is walking deeply. There are a lot of people out there who are about offering walking far, walking fast, getting there the quickest. That's more of the masculine way of walking, right? I live in Boulder, Colorado. Love it here. And there are so many people running as fast as they can and doing marathons and doing triathlons. And, you know, that's not me. For me, it's about let's walk deeply. Let's deeply experience what we're here walking with and experience it. Let's not skim over the top. But let's experience and receive the gift from walking deeply, because when we can slow down to experience that, we still may walk 6 miles a day or 10 or 12 miles a day. But that's not what's important. What's important is the journey and what we're experiencing along the way. And I think that's kind of what part of the themes of my life is, how do we live deeply? How do we walk deeply? And how do we connect into those most, like, kind of like in terms of the alchemy, that gold within us, and connect and live from that place, going through all the darkness, all the muck, to get to that gold, to shine it. And walking can be a gentle polishing for that. Especially sacred walking, walking with intention, and walking to these places that have that special energy that we were talking about before.
Beautiful. So, Sarah, what I'm going to do right now is open up to see if there's any questions. I have a number more questions, but I do want to allow the audience a possibility for that. So what people can do is, I'm going to go on to Q&A mode, and you can press *7 if you would like to ask a question of Sarah or comment on this topic. So I'm just going to allow people to press *7, and I'm also going to go over to the webcast and check if there's any questions there. And in the meantime, I do have a question, a couple of questions on the webcast. One is, do you know of any group, this is from Mary Aline, hi Mary Aline from Toronto, do you know of any group excursions that would explore wild goddess inhabited places, preferably on foot? And that's my first question. And then there's another question, how do you continue, and this is from Susan Donhalter, I hope I'm not mispronouncing your name. And she says, how do you continue to incorporate walking in your daily life? That's a great question. First of all, do you know of any group excursions to explore wild goddess-inhabited places?
Well, that's a great question, Mary Aline. Thanks for asking it. Yeah, well, funny that you asked, is that I'm actually leading a pilgrimage in Cornwall June 19th to June 29th. And the ancient lands of Cornwall are very, very Celtic, very ancient lands. We would be visiting a well that is one of the very few wells in Cornwall not to be discovered by the church, so it is considered the goddess well. It never got renamed for a saint. And I happened upon this well last summer and had a magical experience there. It's beautiful. So that's just to give you an example of, there's holy wells, there's stone circles, there's ancient standing stones throughout the region. We will be walking and visiting those. So that's just to give you one example. So it's going to be about the wild goddesses, the wild land, the wildness within us in so many levels. So if we want to know more, we can talk about that. But that's the one pilgrimage I do know that there's also, I'm leading another pilgrimage in Glastonbury in September. I feel like that's going to be a little bit more tame, but because I'm leading it, I know we will be walking deeply. So I wanted to say that. And Susan, how I continue with walking and my daily life. There's several different ways I do that. One is I actually happen to have a labyrinth in my yard, and I live in an area where we have a number of labyrinths. So one suggestion would be to find a labyrinth and walk it, because there's walking within the container of a circle on the spiral path. It's such a sacred way to walk into the middle, to walk to the center, to experience your center. You can ask a question as you walk it into the center, receive what's there, and walk back out with it into the world. And then if you live in an area where you don't really know where there are labyrinths and things like that, you can go for a walk, and as you start your walk, set an intention. Create the container to setting an intention, asking a question, asking for guidance, whatever is up for you. And that simple step of asking a question or setting an intention brings a sacred element to the walk. You can ask your guides to walk with you. You could, you know, there's many different things. You could make it a walking meditation, breathing as you walk, walking in silence. You could, you know, there's different things. You could go and sit beside water or sit on a stone in the middle of your walk. But I think the easiest way is to just ask a question with what's there for you, what wisdom, guidance are you seeking? Or another way would be, is how could I contribute to my walk today? Just by walking, how can I contribute and see what shows up? And it may be that you lift a worm out of a puddle. Who knows what it could be? You may move a stick, or there's so many different ways that the sacredness can show up. So be open to many ways that the sacred will show up in just our daily lives on our daily walk. So I hope that answers your question.
And that really was related to the question I was going to ask, which is, how do you bring the practices of pilgrimage into everyday life? I think you've pretty well covered it, but if there's anything mm-hmm. else you wanted to add, Sarah, add it now.
Right. I think it really is about the intention. I think, you know, we can have sacred places and, like, sacred destinations, which I love, and mm-hmm. it's wonderful. And there's labyrinths, which are often so imbued with sacred energy. And if nothing else, it's the intention of the walk. That brings mm. just like any activity, our intention is everything.
Mm. And I interviewed actually somebody earlier, well, it was last year, Nicole Mwen, who has who does pilgrimage in her own city. she's of the viewpoint that you can go out for 5 minutes, and if you have that intention of pilgrimage, it does incorporate that idea and that practice
exactly.
into your daily life.
I think that's so true. It can be that simple. I also lead sacred walks here locally in Boulder, Colorado, and I've been doing a series called Chakra Walks, where we're walking from one labyrinth to the next, and each of the labyrinths has embodies and reflects a different chakra, and it's been a 7-month journey. We just walked the throat chakra last week. Powerful experiences. We're all just kind of in awe of how this simple walk is so transformational. It's really quite an amazing journey that we're on, and it's just been a joy to create a sacred walk to the destination right here in my own backyard, which I love.
And actually, I'm going to ask a little related question to that, then I'm going to go to a question from Anna May. But Sarah, I know that you're a very powerful coach, an intuitive coach, and I haven't been on a walk with you as such, but I would think that when you lead a walk, it's something very special because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thank
I would
you.
Love to know how you integrate both your coaching and your amazing intuition along with your walks.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. For those of you who don't know, Katie and I went to the same coaching school, not at the same program at the same time, but that's somewhat how we met. And I, after our coaching program, went and did a weekend leadership program with them, and they talk about the different leadership types. And I got in touch with that the way I lead is there's upper lingo for it, but regardless of that, it's I create a space for people to step into. That's just naturally. Mm. what I do. I do it so naturally I didn't even realize I did it. And that's how I lead a pilgrimage, is I just create a space for people to step into on the path. And in that circle, in that container, I show up and engage with people. And I take turns walking with different people at different times. I give space if people need to be alone. Like, it's not about, well, here, I'm here to coach you now. It's not like that. But it's through the course of conversation. And I had the honor and privilege to walk with a dear friend who's a Camino pilgrim. You could say expert. She's an author on the Camino. And we walked a section of it in France back in 2012. And she said to me afterwards, she recently reflected this to me, she said, Sarah, when you are walking and you are connected with the earth, there is a wisdom and a magic that comes through you. And you can ask the most simple questions that are so profound that they alter you. She goes, I'm still working questions you asked me when we walked a year and a half ago. And I share that out because it kind of blew me away, but I think that's what I do, is I show up and I walk with you and I walk near you, or as I learned from Sue Kenny, I walk behind you. I feel like, I often lead through being a shepherd behind. I don't have to be out in front, but I just, I make sure everybody gets there safely, and you know, I'm very aware of the group and the group energy, but I don't get in people's spaces and I don't try and change their experience. But if they want to need me, I'm there. I'm totally available. But it really is like being a shepherdess. I leave them behind and allow the path to guide and provide. That's what I do. Well, that's really what it comes down to.
Wonderful. Now, I have a question from Anna May, and it's, you mentioned that Avesbury and Glastonbury Tor are powerful places. Are you doing a pilgrimage around those places, since that would probably be a very meaningful experience?
I absolutely am. I'm leading a pilgrimage. I'm actually doing a pilgrimage in partnership with Adventurous Spirit Travel. And I'm leading a 6-day walking pilgrimage into Glastonbury through the Somerset levels for the first part. Then we're going to gather with the rest of the group, who, not everybody has to walk, right? So we'd walk the first part, walk into Glastonbury, gather with the rest of the group, and this is going to be a very powerful 10-day experience of going into Stonehenge at dawn, which is a special privilege. We've actually had to pay for that, the right to do that, because otherwise you don't get to go into the center of Stonehenge. We're going to go into it early in the morning. We're going to go into a long burrow and have a sacred ceremony in the evening. We're going to go to Avesbury and be in the stone circles there, and we're also going to have a sacred goddess ceremony back in Glastonbury towards the end of the time. So it's going to be a very, very special, well, a total of 2 weeks with the walking, 10 to 12 days. So it's early September, and you can go to adventurousspirittravel.com, or you can go to my website at giftfromthepath.com, and there's actually a link on the front page so that you'll see Sacred Avalon Pilgrimages.
Wonderful. Sounds amazing. So I'm going to see if anybody actually wants to talk. I've got mostly written messages, but if anybody else would like to ask a question through their phone lines, just press *7. If not, I'm just going to go back to I'm going to look. I don't see anybody. People are using the webcast mostly to put their questions in. Okay, so I'm going to check again and see if there's any more questions. And we're coming towards the end of our time anyway, so I have a couple of additional things, but I'll just check to see if there's anything that's come in. And I'm also looking at the Facebook page. Okay, let me... No, I'm not seeing any more questions. I'll just check one more time. No, that's it for the questions. And I've got a couple of other things that I want to check in with you, Sarah. Is that, I think we've covered about the, how you can bring some of the practices into your everyday life. And you've also talked a lot about the gifts of the pilgrimage, but I was wondering if there's anything that you've left out that you'd like to add about the gifts of the pilgrimage or the bringing the practice into everyday life.
You know, in terms of the gifts from the pilgrimage, I've called my website Gifts from the Past for a reason, because I feel that there's so much to receive from a pilgrimage experience, and that these gifts show up inadvertently in little ways, in big, kind of hit you over the head ways. For me, a lot of the gifts showed up in like these emblems, symbols, jewelry. On my pilgrimage in France in 2012, we kept seeing the emblem of the Seed of Life, which is one of the most basic sacred geometric forms. We saw it on doorways to churches. We saw it in floors on churches. We saw it on columns, like gateways to people's homes. It was there everywhere. And I actually wear that symbol on a necklace every day now. And like so there it was, like a symbol, a gift from the past, but it's brought me in touch with sacred geometry and the Seed of Life and what that Seed of Life is. And so it's been working me. So it's a gift from the past that continues to work with me and on me since coming home. And it's really the calling for me to connect with my deepest desires, my most courageous dreams, and to give them water, to plant them. And here we are in the time of the seed moon. We just had a dark moon last week, and we've got the full moon coming up on Sunday, and it's the seed moon. So I'm really working with that energy of the Seed of Life right now. So, it will show up like in that way, and then it will show up in interactions. Like, the path really does guide and provide every step of the way. The path, as in terms of the pilgrimage path, but even the path of our lives. If we're willing to open up and receive that guidance, we will be guided so beautifully and so brilliantly that it's not about struggle. It's not about how hard we can make it, but how much more grace and ease are we willing to allow. Like, one of my experiences was, is I tend to walk hard on my feet. I'm not light. I'm not light with a light toucher on my feet. I developed this condition, which was basically a case of shin splints that I found out was called walker's legs. And my shin hurt so badly. Like, every step was excruciating pain. And I didn't know what to do about it. And I don't usually do any kind of pharmaceuticals, but I was popping ibuprofen because it hurt so badly. The only way I could walk. Well, what happens that night is we sit down to dinner. We meet a pilgrim who spoke English from Denmark who had to stop walking for 5 days because she had this terrible experience with walker's legs. And she completely told me, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to take care of it. And I was like, oh, my God. I would have never known all that, but there was a woman in the form of a pilgrim giving me exactly the information I needed to be able to proceed on and to take care of myself in the process. So that's another gift from the past, right? Like the information I needed to take care of myself. Or the yellow arrows, like on the Camino, there are yellow arrows that guide you which way to go. And you can follow those all the way to Santiago. I haven't even mentioned that I was walking from Santiago the other way, so the yellow arrows weren't always helpful. So I had to learn how to listen to the path in another way and to feel, which way do I need to go? It's like, you know, it's like when you come to the crossroads, do I take the left or the right? And receiving the guidance from the path and knowing when I took a wrong turn, that something didn't feel right, listening and feeling into the energy of that and going, okay, I have to be willing to turn around and go back, even if it was a kilometer or two. Oh, my gosh, I have to turn around. But a gift from the past. And I really feel that we can translate all of those gifts into our daily lives and know when we're on our path and know when we've stepped off and kind of gotten a little muddled and out of focus and maybe pulled off because we're trying to please other people, or we're pulled off because we're concerned about this, that, or the other thing, when all there is an invitation always to step back off. It's always right there waiting for us, inviting us to realign. I don't know if that answered it specifically, but
yes,
it's such a
beautiful.
It's a big change, but yeah.
So, anything else you would like to add before we?
No, if anything, it's like as you're hearing what I have to say about pilgrimage, and if there's at all a nudge in you or a calling, listen to it. A pilgrimage, like Nicole said, can be a 5-minute step outdoors. It can be a trip to Europe or to somewhere in the world where you're really called, but it can be as simple as a step outside your back door to a pilgrimage on the other side of the world. And no matter what it is, listen to the call and honor it, because it's all it's asking you, and this is pulling it full circle right now, is to come home to yourself. That's all it wants, is for you to be aligned with who you really are, what your gifts are, and for you to live your life fully, without apology, and in full brilliance. So that's,
beautiful.
How I'd like to finish.
So how can our listeners find out more about you and the programs you offer?
Two different ways. You can go to giftsfromthepath.com. That's my website. I'm going to disclose that right now my pilgrimage for Cornwall is still in the works. It's still in the works. It's coming together beautifully, so you're not going to find all the details just yet. My intention is to have everything to be ready to be broadcast by the full moon this coming Sunday. But you can go to giftsfromthepath.com and get a taste of who I am and a visual, and you can find out about the pilgrimage into Glastonbury in September. The other place that you can go to is on Facebook, Sarah Hoskin Climber, and there's also then my page, which is also Gifts from the Path. So those are the best ways
and
to
find
out. And
that's Gifts,
right,
plural, G-I-F-T-S.
Exactly. And you can also go to adventurousspirittravel.com for the pilgrimage in September for the Glastonbury.
But all of these are on giftsfromthepath.com.
Exactly.
Just to make it simpler for our listeners, and then they can get the
Thank
others.
Thank you.
So wonderful. And I cannot think of somebody who would be a better guide on these type of pilgrimages and a better person to accompany you. And I'm hoping I've got that on my bucket list to go with Sarah on one of her pilgrimages. I'm not quite sure when it is yet. Things seem to be getting booked up, but I'm sure when the time is there, it's going to be amazing. So
it's like on time at the right time. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much, Sarah, for coming today. And also
thank you
to the audience that's been here and has had all these different questions, which have been very interesting and have helped us explore this topic. And just to say once again, you can check out Sarah's offerings at www.giftsfromthepath.com. And for help in developing your own creative passions and innovative projects for social change while creating an outside-the-box sustainable lifestyle, you can check out my websites and program my website and programs at www.katiecurtin.com. So thank you once again so much, Sarah, for sharing your journey and your experiences. It's been amazing to listen to all your insights and wisdom around this.
Thank you, Katie. It's just been a joy to be here and to get to share about this. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Beautiful.